Welcome to Zichru Daf Simani. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Lamed Beis. So the three points we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi Yanai said, "Lolam al yamud adam b'makom sakana." A person should never stand in a dangerous place. Lomar she'osin lo neis, and say to himself that a neis, a miracle, will be performed for him to save him from harm, because it's possible that a neis will not be performed for him. Furthermore, even if a neis is indeed performed for him, they deducted from his merits. Rabbi Chanin brought the following pasuk to support this principle. When Yaakov Avinu davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu before confronting Esav, Yaakov said, "Katonti mikol chasadim mikol emes asher asisa savdecha. I have been diminished by all the kindnesses and by all the truth that you've done for your servant." Yaakov Avinu was fearful that despite all of his merits, Esav had the ability to hurt him due to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu had given him so much. The goodness that he had received from Kodesh Baruch Hu may have diminished the merit of his good deeds. Point number two, Rabbi Yitzchak, the son of Yehuda, said, "Lo'om yevakash adam rachamim shelo yechaleh." A person should always ask mercy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he shouldn't become sick. For if he becomes sick, the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, says to him, "Have zchus v'pater," bring us a merit and you'll be set free, meaning the burden of proof is on him. Mar Ukva brings the support for this principle from the Parsha Ma'aka, the mitzvah to build a fence around one's roof. The pasuk says, "Ki yipo hanofo mimenu." If a fallen one falls from it, meaning the roof, the phrase mimenu, from it, can also be read mimeno, from him, thereby implying that it's up to the one falling to bring evidence of his worthiness to live. And point number three, Reish Lakish said, "Whoever is careful with the mitzvah tzitzis shall merit to have 2,800 servants to serve him." This is based on the pasuk of Zechariah, "Kol amar Shem Tzvakos." So says the Lord of hosts, "In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men of each of the languages of the nations, v'chazikub k'naf ish Yehudi lemor, they shall take hold of the corners of a Jewish person, saying, Nelchai machem, we will go with you." And Rashi explains that since there will be 10 men from each of the 70 nations holding on to each corner, equaling 700, there will be a total of 2,800 on all four corners. So once again, let's review. Point number one, Rabbi Yanai said, "Lom al yamad adam b'makom sakana." A person should never stand in a dangerous place. Lomar she'osin lo neis, and say to himself that a miracle will be performed for him to save him from harm, because it's possible that a miracle will not be performed for him. And furthermore, even if it is performed for him, menachin lo mizuchu yosav, they deduct it from his merits. Rabbi Chanin brought the following pasuk to support this principle. When Yaakov Avinu davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu before confronting Esav, Yaakov said, "Katonti mikol chasadim mikol emes asher asisa savdecha. I have been diminished by all the kindnesses and by all the truth you've done for your servant." Yaakov Avinu was fearful that despite all of his merits, Esav had the ability to hurt him due to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu had given him so much, and the goodness that he had received from Kodesh Baruch Hu may have diminished the merits of his good deeds. Point number two, Rav Yitzchak, the son of Yehuda, said, "Lo'om yevakash adam rachamim shelo yechaleh." A person should always ask mercy from Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should not become sick. For if he becomes sick, the Beis Din Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, says to him, "Have zchus v'pater," bring us a merit and you'll be set free, meaning the burden of proof is on him. Mar Ukva brings the support for this principle from the Parsha Ma'aka, the mitzvah to build a fence around one's roof. The pasuk says, "Ki yipo hanofo mimenu," if a fallen one falls from it, the roof, the phrase "from it," mimenu, can also be read mimeno, from him, thereby implying that it's up to the one falling to bring evidence of his worthiness to live. And point number three, Reish Lakish said, "Who's ever careful with the mitzvah tzitzis shall merit to have 2,800 servants to serve him." This is based on the pasuk in Zechariah, "Kol amar Shem Tzvakos." So says the Lord of hosts, "In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men of each of the languages of the nations, v'chazik b'gnaf ish Yehudi lemor, shall take hold of the corners of a Jewish person, saying, Nelcho imachem, we will go with you." And Rashi explains that since there will be 10 men from each of the 70 nations holding on to each corner, equaling 700, there will be a total of 2,800 on all four corners. All right, so now it's time to go to our simon. So the simon for Lamed Beis is a lab. So we think of a mad scientist in a lab. A mad scientist in a lab. Here goes. The mad scientist in the lab put himself in great danger when he jumped off the roof without saying a prayer, certain that by pulling his high-tech tzitzit strings, 2,800 servants would appear and catch him. Once again, in slow motion. The mad scientist in the lab. Lab, that means we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist in the lab put himself in great danger, which reminds us, Rabbi Yanai said, "Lom al yamad adam b'makom sakana." A person should never stand in a dangerous place. Lomar she'osin lo neis, and say to himself that a miracle will be performed for him to save him from harm, because it's possible the miracle will not be performed for him. Furthermore, even if a miracle is indeed performed for him, Menachin Laman Zichuyasav, they deducted from his merits. Rav Yochanan brought the following pasuk to support this principle. When Yaakov Avinu davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu before confronting Esav, Yaakov said, Katonti mikol chasadi mikol emeser she'asisa savdecha. I've been diminished by all the kindnesses and by all the truth that you've done for your servant. Yaakov Avinu was fearful that despite all of his merits, Esav had the ability to hurt him due to the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu had given him so much. The goodness that he received from Hashem may have diminished the merits of his good deeds. So the mad scientist in the lab put himself in great danger when he jumped off the roof without saying a prayer, which reminds us, Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Yudah, said, Lolam yevakesh adam rachem mishol yechaleh. A person should always ask mercy from Hashem, that he should not become sick, for if he becomes sick, the basin shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, says to him, Have schus vipater, bring us a merit, and you'll be set free, meaning the burden of proof is on him. Mar Ukva brings a support for this principle from the parsha of Ma'aka, the mitzvah to build a fence around one's roof. The pasuk says, Ki yipo hanofo mimenu. If a fallen one falls from it, the roof, the phrase from it, mimenu, can also be read mimeno, from him, thereby implying that it's up to the one falling to bring evidence of his worthiness to live. So the mad scientist in the lab put himself in great danger when he jumped off the roof without saying a prayer, certain that by pulling his high-tech tzitzit strings, 2,800 servants would appear and catch him. Which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, who's ever careful with the mitzvah of tzitzis shall merit to have 2,800 servants serve him. This is based on the pasuk of Zechariah. So says the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men in each of the languages of the nations, they shall take hold of the corners of a Jewish person saying, Ne'elcha imachem, we will go with you. And Rashi explains that since there will be 10 men from each of the 70 nations holding on to each corner, equaling 700, there will be a total of 2,800 on all four corners. So once again, the mad scientist in the lab put himself in great danger when he jumped off the roof without saying a prayer, certain that by pulling his high-tech tzitzit strings, 2,800 servants would appear and catch him. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Chav Ches. So the Simur Chav Ches is a strong man, Koach, strong man. So here goes. The big strong man, reminding us, we're on Daf Chav Ches. The big strong man whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, which reminds us, the Rav Yosef says that the Targum translates the word Tachash, the animal whose beautiful hide was used for the Mishkan, as Sasgona, which Rav Yosef explains to mean it rejoices in the beauty of its many colors, Sas begavnin harbe. Later on in the Daf, we learn that Rabbi Ula said in the name of Rabbi Shlakish, Rabbi Meir used to say, that the Tachash that exists in the days of Moshe Benu was a unique species, and the sages could not decide if it was Behem or Achayet. It had a single horn in its forehead and presented itself to Moshe for the need of the hour for its hides to be used for the cover of the Mishkan. Afterwards, it was hidden. So since the Tachash had a single horn on its head, it can be determined that it was a kosher animal based on the rule that any horned animal can be resumed to be kosher. That's based on Gemara Nida. So the big strong man, whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side, sold kosher tefillin straps by the side of the road, which reminds us the Brice was brought that stated that the only hide fit for the service of heaven, Melech HaShemayim, is the hide of a kosher animal. The Gemara clarifies that the service of heaven, the Melech HaShemayim, is referring to tefillin, and the Brice is coming to teach specifically that the straps of the tefillin must come from a kosher animal. We also learned that the requirement of the parchments and tefillin boxes to come from kosher hides is learned from the pasuk about tefillin, L'mantia Torah Hashem b'ficha, so the Torah Hashem will be in your mouth. The Gemara explains that the pasuk is requiring that the parts of the tefillin that have Torah written upon them must be from an animal that is permissible to be eaten, mina mutar b'ficha, from that which is permissible in your mouth. So the big strong man whose colorful pet unicorn stood loyally by his side sewed kosher tefillin straps by the side of the road, wrapped it carefully in pure folded cloth. Which reminds the Gemara, the next mission begins with an explanation of the dispute, whether folded cloth that is 3x3 etzba'os, finger breadths, is makabel tuma. Rabbi Yezer holds that folding the cloth alone does not negate its status as a garment and therefore can be makabel tuma. And the Rif explains that a garment will only lose its status if the change has a lasting impact on it. Rabbi Kiva holds that folding the cloth does serve to negate the cloth status as a garment and therefore it is no longer makabel tuma. Daf Chavtes. So the Simur Chavtes is a cot, a little bed. So here we go. The crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day. Cot, that reminds us, we're on Daf Chavtes. The crazy pyromaniac laying on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, which reminds us, the Rav says the reason why Rabbi Eliezer prohibits the use of the cloth wick that was not singed is that a wick that was not charred doesn't light properly. So the crazy pyromaniac laying on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, which reminds us, Rav Menuhin said, the Malchus between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, whether a cloth wick is makabel tuma, it's specifically for a cloth that's less than by 3 tefachim, which lost its status of a beggar because it was designated for some insignificant use, such as a rag. And then the owner puts it aside by hanging it on a peg or putting it by a door. Rabbi Yehuda holds that since the owner sets it aside for a later use by hanging it on a peg or by a door, it indicates that he now regards the cloth as significant and the cloth regains its status as a beggar. Therefore, it's mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva holds that since the owner only hung the rag on a peg or placed it by the door, it indicates that he didn't intend to reestablish her status as a beggar, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah. So the crazy pyromaniac lay on his cot every day, singeing cloth wicks and rags hanging on his door, and perforating eggshells to drip oil into his lamps. Which reminds us, the mission presents some halachos between the Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, whether one might come to remove oil on Shabbos from the falling three lamps, and thereby be liable for mechaba, for extinguishing. Case number one, a perforated eggshell filled with oil and placed over the mouth of a lit lamp so that the oil drips into it. Case two, a perforated earthenware vessel made to do the same. And case three, a bowl filled with oil with a long wick placed beside a lit lamp for the wick to draw the oil to the lamp. The Rabban prohibited their use for fear one might draw oil from the vessel since it's separate from the lamp. Yehuda was lenient and saw no need for precaution since the sight of the oil dripping onto the wick made it clear that one cannot remove the oil. Daf Lamed. So the Simmer Daf Lamed is Melamed, a Rebbe in a classroom. And I'm going to make a little switch. Instead of saying the Rebbe was teaching his class about great leaders of the past, I'm going to change it to the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, just to make it a little more visual. So here goes. The Rebbe, Melamed, that means we're on Daf Lamed. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, which reminds us Rav Tamchum of Nevi presented a public discourse where he reconciled seeming contradictions between Shlomo Melech's teachings and the teachings of David HaMelech, as well as seeming contradictions within Kohelis and Mishlei themselves. One example is that in Tehillim, David HaMelech states, "L'hameisim yahalelu ka," the dead cannot extol Hashem, which implies the living are better than those that have already died. Yet in Kohelis, Shlomo Melech writes, and I praise the dead who have already died more than the living that shall live. One of Rav Tamchum's explanations is that the way of the world is that when a ruler of flesh and blood, a boss of Adam, issues a decree, not everybody fulfills that. And even those that do, it will only be during the ruler's lifetime. But Moshe Rabbeinu issued many gezeras and takanas, and we fulfill them to this day. Therefore, the pshat, according to Rashi, is that the dead is referring to the leaders of earlier generations who have a much more profound influence in the living, which is referring to today's leaders. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past when suddenly the doors of the classroom flung open, which reminds us, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave David HaMelech for the sin involving Bathsheba, he refused David's request for a public sign to demonstrate that he was forgiven during David's lifetime, telling him that it will become known in the time of Shlomo Melech. That time arrived with the inauguration of the base of Mikdash, when the gates of the Kodesh Kodashim miraculously clung to each other and would not open. After a number of failed attempts, such as reciting 24 songs of prayer, the doors finally opened when Shlomo Melech asked that they open in the merit of David HaMelech and his chus. It then became clear to everyone that David HaMelech was forgiven for the sin, and his enemies became humiliated. And this is all in Kapitel Chavdalet in Tehillim, Psalm 24. So the Rebbe was showing his class pictures of great leaders of the past, when suddenly the doors of the classroom flung open, and their staircase outside started to cave, which reminds us, although Kodesh Baruch Hu would not reveal to David HaMelech how long he would live, he did reveal to him that he would pass away on a Shabbos. From then on, every Shabbos, David HaMelech would learn the entire day, frustrating the attempts of the Malchum Avos to take him. One Shabbos, the Malchum Avos shook the branches of a tree outside David's room and startled him. So as David ascended a staircase to see what was happening, he was startled when a stair caved under him, and for a moment he was silent and stopped learning. It was then that he died. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the symbol of Lamed Aleph is the law, but we're going to think of the judge, which is connected to the law. So here goes. The kindly judge, which reminds us of the law, which reminds us of Daf Lamed Aleph. The kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, which reminds us the Gemara recounts a number of incidents that demonstrates Hillel's extreme humility and gentle way of dealing with prospective converts that Shammai rejected. To the one who didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh, he taught him the all base forwards one day and backwards the next day, demonstrating that just as he needs to rely on Hillel for Torah Shebiksav, he should rely on him for the veracity of Torah Shebaal Peh. To the one who wanted to learn the Torah while standing on one foot, al regalach, as he taught, the alach snei lachavrach lo saved, that which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. The rest is commentary. Zil gemor, go and learn. To the one who wanted to become a kohen gadol, he had him discover on his own that as a convert, he was ineligible to become one. So the kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out the year Shemaim is the whole goal in Yiddishkeit, which reminds us the Gemara focuses on the centrality of Yir Shamayim. Rava learns from the Pasuk of Yishayahu, after a person is asked six questions by the Beis Shalmala, the heavenly tribunal, after his death, he only gets a favorable judgment The fear of Hashem was his storehouse. He likens it to someone going through all the pointless effort to store grain without mixing in it a preservative, a kav chumtum. Rabbi Baruch Huna said that anyone who's acquired Torah knowledge but has not acquired Yir Shamayim is comparable to a treasurer to whom the keys of the inner chamber have been handed but has not been given the keys to the outer chamber to gain entrance. And Rabbi Yaneh proclaimed, Chaval da'aleis le'darta, woe unto one who doesn't own a courtyard, v'sar le'darta avid, but he nevertheless makes for himself a gate for a courtyard. So the kindly judge ran a conversion course open to all prospective converts, making sure to point out that Yir Shamayim is the whole goal in Yishkeit, and specifically three mitzvahs a woman should be aware of. Which reminds the next mishnah to say that women are susceptible to death and childbirth due to being careless in the observance of the mitzvahs of Nida, Challah, and Ner Shabbos. A certain Galilean expounded before Rav Chisda the reasons why specifically these three mitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I place a revis of blood in you to sustain the soul of man. Thus, I've cautioned you concerning the matters of blood, i.e. Nida. I've called you Reishis, the first. Thus, I've cautioned you about the matters of the first, which is Chalk, which is called Reishis Arisosechem. And the soul I place within you is called a ner, a candle. Thus, I've cautioned you concerning matters of the candle, Shabbos Licht. If you fill these mitzvahs, all is well. If not, I will take back your souls. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes. Question number 1. Where did the question of whether all Nisim is included in the benching of Chanukah? That's on Daf. Chavtal, good. Number 2. Where do you learn that one should not put themselves in a dangerous place hoping to rely on a miracle? That's on Daf. Lama Beis, good. Question number 3. Where do the 3 cases of lamps where oil comes from a separate vessel? That's on Daf. Chavtes, good. Number 4. Where do you learn the pshat that when it says the dead are better than the living, it refers to the leaders of the previous generations and their influence? That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph. Number 4. Where do you learn the pshat that when it says the dead are better than the living, it refers to the leaders of the previous generations and their influence? That's on Daf. Lamed. Good. Number 5. Where do you learn that the primary act in the mitzvah of Chanukah is the hadlaka, not the hanacha? That's on Daf. Chaf Gimel. Good. Number 6. Where do you learn that one is permitted to burn tamei truma? That's on Daf. Chaf Hey. Good. Number 7. Where do you learn the Nevuah that eventually there will be 2,800 non-Jews holding onto our corners of our garments? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 8. Where do you learn the garments that are worn at night, Ksus Lailo, do not require tzitzis? That's on Daf. Chav Zayin. Good. Number 9. Where do you learn how Hillel treated prospective converts? That's on Daf. Lamed Aleph. Good. And number 10. Where do we have the 3 reasons why balsam oil, tzeri, was prohibited, one being that it's flammable? That's on Daf. Chavav, good. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions of Brachas. Which Daf do you learn about Tamar not embarrassing Yehuda? That's on Daf. Mem Gimel, good. Number 2, where do the Bracha Baruch Chacham Arazim, which is said when one sees a crowd of 600,000? That's on Daf. Nun Ches, good. And number 3, where do you learn what one does if you forgot to make a Bracha and the food is still in his mouth? That's on Daf. Nun. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz and the 3 bonus questions of Brachas. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.